Hello, hello, hello. My name is Joe.
And I'm Jordan.
And this is Double Trouble Features.
Woo-woo!
The weekly podcast where we talk about all things movie, televisions, entertainment, and just what's on these damn screens.
Yes, I'm not going to lie. Like, starting this podcast, my eyes are hurting. I'm watching so many shows and movies now. Like, it's getting a lot.
That's why I got the blue light on my glasses.
Same.
Well,
same.
Then I'm fine.
Oh,
I'm
okay.
Doing all right.
But Joe, what's going to be on our podcast today?
Well, we're going to be starting off with a little something interesting and something that no one's ever heard of before. Disney live action, you know.
Jesus.
It's not stopping anytime soon. We're going to get into some movies, what we're watching and all of that. I'm going to be talking about some interesting movies, to say the least, and television shows. How about you? What else are we talking about?
Yeah, I'm going to talk about the movie that I watched, Immaculate. I'm also going to talk about, you know, my TV show, but then we're going to get into some...
A little heavy.
A little heavy. We're going to talk about the things that are going on with Nickelodeon.
Yeah, and just the revelations that's caused, what we're seeing, any new things coming out. It's an interesting moment in time, especially in children's television right now. And I think it's something to just take a look at.
Yeah. All right. So today we're going to talk about something that's been on the forefront of everything. A lot of people's quarterly dollars are being put out for the public. And we're going to talk about one of the biggest companies in the world, and that is Disney.
Oh. The beautiful House of Mouse.
Yes. They're over 100 years old now. And
they look it.
They are getting so... They're running out of ideas that they're just now making remakes. And we got some of the upcoming remakes that they're doing. They're turning the animated movies into remakes. And
we gotta love that live action, baby.
So all right, before we really get into it, what are some of your thoughts?
Okay, so my feelings are, last year Disney did not make $1 billion on a single film, and that seems to be the litmus for success for Disney. Everyone talked about it. Everyone was like, if you don't make $1 billion at least once during the year, it was a bad fiscal year. And given they do put so much money into these movies, so much. Yeah. A lot of people don't know that, like, most of the money for Disney's comes from the parks. That's where most of their money comes from and is generated. People don't know that this is, like, you know, just... I don't want to say part of it, but it is. It's just part of it, and they have to make money on these things.
That damn Fast Pass costs so much.
It is why that.
But I'm not going to Disney World or Land without that Fast Pass.
No, absolutely not. So it's interesting to me. This seems to be a very big financial move. They took a lot of risks last year. They took a lot of different things. And Bob Iger said, we are not going to be taking risks like we were. He said, we are going to.
Which is crazy to me, actually. I don't know, like, again, I'm not a multi-billionaire. I'm not a CEO of a company. But, like, I think out of the animation field, you should be taking risk.
Oh, I agree wholeheartedly. And that's, but I also think that that's why we've been seeing other animation studios kind of stepping up and filling that space.
Shout out to Sony.
But, I mean, it's really, what's interesting to me about it is the fact that they're just like, you know what? We're just going to keep doing it. We're going to keep regurgitating it. Because at the end of the day, we're going to spend money on this. We're going to go see Snow White. We're going to go see Mufasa.
Let's talk about, first, what's your favorite, like, live action remake that's already came out? What's your favorite, if you had to pick one?
That one's hard. I think my, like, favorite, like, original one would be Maleficent. I think that was really interesting and really fun.
Yeah, but that's original.
But it is original, yeah. But it takes on the source material, and it counts as a live-action remake. So,
I'm counting... I don't know if it counts as a remake, because it didn't remake anything.
It's Sleeping Beauty.
No,
it remade Sleeping Beauty.
It's not Sleeping Beauty.
It remade... She's in it.
Oh, just because she's in it doesn't mean it remade it.
It remade the whole story.
It's like Cruella is a remake of 101 Dalmatians.
No, it's a prequel.
Oh, okay. Anyway.
I don't...
it's not the same thing.
It is.
It's not... It's not bar for bar. It's not none of scene for scene.
None of these are bar for bar, scene for scene.
All right, Lion King's very close.
But
to
it's not.
Bar. It's very.
But
like,
it's not. I know this because he never said, "What do you want me to do? Dress and drag and do the hula?" And that's my favorite line from that movie, and they cut it. So fuck off.
Anyway,
you're wrong.
Anyway.
But
so Maleficent is your favorite. Okay.
Maleficent is my favorite. I really enjoyed Little Mermaid as like an actual.
I actually really liked Little Mermaid, except for the new songs.
Yes, that
I thought the new songs were the worst part.
I don't know what we were trying.
The scuttlebutt rap, bro. The scuttle rap was so bad.
I'm not gonna lie. I went to the bathroom right before that started and came back right after it ended, and I had no idea about this. And then I watched it again on Disney Plus, and I was like, "What the fuck is this?"
It's so bad.
I was horrified.
Also, Prince, it's Eric. Is that his name?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Prince Eric's song. He's not really like, he's not a singer. Like, you can tell, like, he's an actor that got some coaching up and how to sing, and they just gave him his one solo.
Yeah.
But it was terrible.
But I mean, what's interesting is that, because they did the same with Jasmine in Aladdin, and I didn't think that was bad. I thought her song was pretty good.
Jasmine's part was, I was fine. I didn't like the song was fine. Didn't like the actual like scene.
Fair.
Like, hey, we're stopping time and like, let me get my own moment.
Yeah.
It wasn't necessary. Aladdin's my favorite. Of live action. I understand. Will Smith was never going to be Robin Williams, but I thought Will Smith did a great job as Genie.
Yeah, I think it would be silly to compare those two anyway.
Yeah, 100%. But I thought Aladdin was a good movie.
Yeah.
I thought Lion King, for the most part, was kind of dead. Because
animals just don't make faces like that.
Yeah.
And it was just a little too realistic.
Yeah, it's too realistic. I did like the new Jungle Book that came out.
I don't even know if I saw it.
Oh, go watch it. It's actually a good movie. It's actually a pretty good movie. I haven't watched Beauty and the Beast though. Did you?
Oh, hell yeah. I watched it recently. When I say I like to get stoned and watch Disney movies, this is part of it.
Is that
because
good? Is it good?
I really liked it. Some of the singing is a little meh, but like, I think it adds a lot of fun. It's pretty close to the original, like as close you could probably get. Recently when I did a rewatch, I was like, oh, this is a lot more fun than I remember.
Okay.
So it's all right. It's serviceable. If you like Beauty and the Beast, you will like the live action remake.
Okay. But here's some of the upcoming remakes that are coming out. We got a Mufasa, The Lion King.
Prequel.
Who asked for this?
I just don't know where we're going with it.
Like, don't get me wrong. I love Mufasa. Like, he's one of my favorite characters. But, like, the dude dies in the first, like, 15 minutes. Like, I don't need to know how he came about of the animal kingdom. And it's live. Like, it's live action. I don't really need that. Like, let James Earl Jones die in peace.
Do you think Scar is going to be hot young? Because Kovu was hot.
I don't need Scar. Like, I don't need a young Scar. Like, anyway, Snow White's coming out. Did you see, like, the pictures of the first Snow White? Like, the first upcoming pictures of it?
I think I saw that with the dwarves.
They weren't dwarves.
Yeah.
The first pictures were, they were not dwarves.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, what? Because I get it. They're trying to not be insensitive to the little people community, but
then just call them elves. Because when they said Snow White and the Seven Dwarves, they weren't talking about like dwarfism. They were talking about like Lord of the Rings dwarves.
Yeah, no, I just need
like it would have been okay if you just like explained it. It's like, these are magical dwarves. It's not dwarfism, but or just call them elves or something different. But why would you call them Snow White and the Seven Dwarves and them not be dwarves? Because
yeah, exactly.
Because that's like erasing dwarfism if you did mean it that way.
Yeah,
that's what's crazy to me. I don't get it.
Again, now to me, that's when
maybe Rachel.
I feel like Disney's going a little too woke. Is when they are adding all these different kind of, because it was like people with different disabilities,
mm-hmm.
also different colors and stuff like that. But I was just like, you're just erasing the entire like original part of the movie.
Yeah,
you know?
I think my thing is like, and this is a problem for a lot of companies in general, is they are trying to make everyone happy, and a friend to all is a friend to none.
Yeah, no, just get some white people, get some that are short enough. You can make them dwarves or not. Like, they can actually be little people.
I mean, I don't need, like, I don't need, like, I have seen, first of all, I've seen so many live action remakes of Snow White, or the story of Snow White, or how Snow White is put out. Like,
nobody asked for this.
Snow White specifically is just like, I don't.
Boring movie.
Nobody needed it.
It's a boring movie.
I don't know if it's boring. I just think we've seen it.
What's the best part about Snow White? Because I didn't see Snow White until I was an adult. And then I saw it. I was like, bro, what is this movie? Okay, first of all, the
Dopey. I love Dopey.
The end. It just cuts. There's a black cut scene. And then it goes to him curing Snow White at the end.
Did you not see her fall off the rocks? She like tries to kill someone, and then there's lightning and it strikes and she falls down off a cliff. And then it goes to that. Have you not?
No. Wait. What? Wait. Hold on.
What are you talking about?
Okay.
The evil witch.
Yes.
The dwarves find out that the evil witch has done all this.
Yes.
They chase her up the fucking mountain. Yes. She climbs up the mountain.
Yes.
She's getting ready to throw shit at them. And then a lightning strikes and she falls down and dies. And then these two like little like buzzard looking things just like look at her and then fly away.
Yeah, and then it cuts to black, and then all of a sudden you see the guy come back.
What are you confused about?
No, I'm just saying the cut to black part.
It was the 30s. What do you want?
I want more. You make a whole movie, and then we're just going to cut to black, and then cut to another scene, and then boom, she comes back, and we're all fine, and then we're done.
It was a 1930s movie about a fairy tale princess.
Snow White sucks. Moana's coming out with The Rock. He's going to be Maui. I don't know who's going to play Moana, actually.
I'm excited for this. I think it's going to be fun.
I think it's going to be a fun movie. Moana's like one of my favorite. If I had to really pick. Like
really?
I would say Moana might be my top five.
I think it's up there, definitely.
If you take out nostalgia.
I think Moana's pretty far up there. I think, yeah, I agree. I am very excited for this movie. I'm excited to see what they do with it. I think there's a lot of cool live action visuals. And especially now that they got that Avatar money and they got that Avatar CGI and they're going to make it all the water and the ocean.
See, but I don't believe that, because if you saw Little Mermaid, it looked nothing like Avatar. So
it still looked like a bunch of people underwater to me.
Yeah. But anyway, no, it looks so much better. Shut up. Do not disrespect James Cameron like that. Anyway, so the ones that are upcoming are Lilo and Stitch,
which I am very excited for. He's not.
I'm not. Like, again, I love Lilo and Stitch. Like, I watched every single TV show. I saw all the other movies that came out. Like, I loved Lilo and Stitch. I just think Disney's going to fuck it up. I just believe they're going to fuck it up.
I don't know. Maybe I have more faith in the adaptation. I think that they are learning with their adaptations, and I'm hoping that it's going to be fun. What I'm really excited for is, like, Lilo and Stitch is just a fun world to play in. Experiment 626.
Hawaii.
625.
It's just Hawaii. It's Hawaii.
Do you not like Hawaii?
I mean, yeah, you make it seem like, oh, it's a fun world. It's Hawaii.
No, it's a fun world in the fact that there are so many different experiments, and I want to see how far it progresses. I'm not necessarily excited for Lilo and Stitch. I'm excited to see where this goes and if it continues on like Maleficent has.
Oh, so you think we're going to get like Lilo and Stitch 2 and 3?
I'm hopeful.
I hope to God not.
I'm hopeful. I want to see them explore that world, because I don't know. When I was a kid, I just felt like it got cut off. And we were like, okay, we got to like 10 experiments and we're done.
There's definitely like 20, but I get what you're saying. I definitely get what you're saying.
It just didn't, it wasn't, it didn't go on long enough for me, and I want to see them explore that world. I want to see Jumba. I want to see Pleakley. You don't want to see a live action Jumba and Pleakley?
Okay.
See, he's like, oh, okay, it's okay, just okay, Hawaii. Okay. It's just boo. Fuck off. It's going to be fun.
I doubt it. I doubt it.
I think if they get the right voice actors for them, this is going to be a hilarious movie.
I hope it is. Again, I'm just pessimistic.
He's a dick.
The one thing that, the one I'm super excited for that's coming out is Hercules.
Yeah.
Hercules is going to be fantastic.
I've been seeing so many fan casts of everything. Oh my God. And everyone, it's just like my entire like For You page.
If Lizzo is not one. You don't want Lizzo singing?
I don't know if she's uncanceled yet.
I really don't think she's really that canceled.
She's not.
She's not that canceled. She's a little bit, but.
I don't know. I just don't know if it's soon. Like, I do think that I think in the next couple years that she's going to come out of it.
Yeah, this movie's not coming out for another 2-3 years.
Yeah, but they're doing casting now.
And you don't think Lizzo
is because it'll get announced. It'll get announced. Lizzo signed on to the project, and then all the Warriors will freak out, and everyone will be mad, and she'll get cut off. If that happens, that's what's going to happen.
If Lizzo ain't on this project, I'm going to be pissed, okay? I don't care if she fat-shamed all her people.
Oh, no.
I don't
stop,
care.
Stop. I need her to be
on Hercules.
No. Wrong, incorrect, gross.
Need her on Hercules.
No, not.
Next, I don't want to see Bambi.
Yeah.
Live action Bambi.
I don't understand.
I don't want to see.
And then I heard it's like, isn't it like gender bent or something?
Gender bent.
I heard this whole thing where there's like a weird thing where I don't even know. I've heard so many rumors about this movie.
All I know is I don't need to see the mom die. Live action. That's a real deer at that point.
I don't know. I've
I know you've
I've deer hunted before. So like to me, honestly, it makes it less bad.
But have you killed a deer and then all of a sudden you see the doe come out of nowhere and just be crying and
I've
sad?
Killed the doe.
And I'm the monster. But anyway, what's a live action Disney movie that you want to see?
Oh God, I don't know. We're kind of doing them all, aren't we? Like what else
is
there?
The number one for me, I saw a Facebook post and it was some AI generated like pictures, but if Treasure Planet became that's an easy live action right now.
Jim Hawkins would be so hot.
I just need that right this second.
A live action Jim Hawkins.
Atlantis,
that's mine. I think that Atlantis would be perfection through and through. I think we need a live action Milo Thatch with Kida and the whole cast because if you want to have an interracial cast, just make Atlantis.
Yes, facts. Like, just make Atlantis. That's all woke as you need to be.
Like, just stop.
Yes, no. Love Atlantis. Love Treasure Planet. Those are like...
Ooh, do you know what I would really want to see?
What?
The Black Cauldron. I think that could be really fun.
Man. I mean, it could be fun, but like I feel like the Black Cauldron is not like a big enough IP.
Yeah, because you all are wrong. The Black Cauldron is a beautiful movie that is severely underrated.
I mean, it's 80s.
It's a good movie. I loved it as a kid. I still love that movie. It's just, I think.
I don't know. I don't think it's that entertaining. They're doing The Sword in the Stone. Which I put Black Cauldron in that same boat. So.
I don't know. I think The Sword in the Stone could be fun. But I just don't know who these are for. Because like I watched them because my parents watched them.
Yeah. No.
Like. That's an old ass movie. And I guess I mean, another thing that I do think that they're trying to do is they're trying to reintroduce this IP to a new generation of children. And so that way, when they go, like these kids, some of these kids.
Wait. Do you think this lets them trademark it again? Like,
well, that too, yeah.
So that way they can keep that Snow White, because, you know, Snow White, that IP.
Well,
comes up and Snow White's based off of
Snow White's. Yeah, yeah, Snow White's public domain anyway.
Yeah,
it's just this specific Snow White.
Yeah, that was 1937, so that's like
Well, but Snow
White. 13 years.
Well, but you know that Snow White is based off of German folklore and Hans Christian Andersen.
Yeah. No, but I'm talking about like.
Or not
like
Grimm Brothers.
But like you just said, that certain.
Oh, yes, Snow yes, yes. White. That certain. Yes. So, yeah.
So the Disney version of Snow White is IPs
up in the next 13 years. Yeah. So. Interesting. I mean, if there's one person. Who works the hardest? Disney lawyers.
Yes. So tell us, what do you think? What movie should be live action? Should we stop with the live action? Let us know.
All right. So we're going to get into some of the movies that we've been seeing this week. What did you watch, Jordan?
So I like scary movies.
I love horror.
I like Sydney Sweeney. Strictly because she's out. I'm just going to be honest with you. Going to be honest.
Okay,
I'm not going to lie.
Be honest.
So I went to go see Immaculate. And it's not a bad movie. Not a bad movie. I would probably rate it a 7. So basically, here's the premise of the movie. Sydney Sweeney is a nun.
Mm-hmm. The part she was made for.
Yeah. So before she became a nun, she went to like this lake and drowned in the lake and died.
Been there.
But came back. So she's like, God had something else for me. And so then she became a nun. Mm. She left her home. Some priest across the whole entire world in Italy reached out to her. And so now she went to this new place where it's like nuns take care of older nuns who are going
okay.
to pass.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And so she basically is like, okay, like starting to work and everything like that. Then there's just like some kind of creepy shit. And you start to feel like some other things are happening around here. And lo and behold, Sydney Sweeney becomes pregnant.
Hell yeah.
And
because who else would be?
Yeah, she didn't have sex or anything like that. And so she becomes pregnant, and that's when the church kind of goes crazy. And so basically, the whole movie is, I think, a telling of like abortion, basically.
Okay.
To be honest, that's what kind of puts it up for me. Because basically it's like the church is forcing these ideas and thoughts into these people's heads and telling you that you must have this baby. You must this. This baby is like a person, like is God made it. God is always right. You have to have this baby. And to Sydney Sweeney, like, she was a nun and never wanted to have sex, never wanted to have a child or anything like this, but God is forcing this child onto me. And the fucked up things that these priests and other nuns are trying to do to force me to have this baby, I'm not about it. And that's when she kind of goes rogue. But also, one of her friends starts talking about it and talking about how this is all fucked up and everything. And then they cut her fucking tongue off.
Who does? The church?
The church.
Oh.
Yes.
There's something nefarious at play here.
Yeah. And so it's the whole thing of like the church is telling these people that they have to have this baby. They have to, like, you're supposed to. Doesn't matter. You're a woman. You're just a vessel for Jesus, or, you know, in real life, just a baby. Mm-hmm. That's all you are. And so, to Sydney Sweeney's point, it's just no, I'm not. I'm not that. Like, this is not what I wanted. So, overall, if you take it in that lens, it's a great fucking movie. It's actually a great tell of like the abortion issue. As a scary movie, it's not really that scary. My wife jumped once. For the most part, they try to do like some jump scares.
It's just like creepy kooky.
Yeah.
Is there any like body horror?
No, not really.
Huh.
So
I was expecting a little body horror just because like woman, pregnancy, horror.
Yeah, you always, usually
you're going to get something like spooky or creepy out of that, or like gross.
I think it's more of a thriller than a horror because like there's not that much horror element. There's definitely a lot of like something's going on. Sydney Sweeney's like freaking the fuck out. Like she has to like, oh my God, what am I supposed to do? This does not seem right. At the very first scene that of the movie, you see this random chick trying to escape the church. They break her legs and everything like that, and she's dead.
She sounds like somebody's just really scared of the church.
Exactly. And so
fair.
So that's why I think it's more of a thriller than like a horror movie.
So was it better than Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey?
Man, that's a tough one.
That's a tough one.
You know what? I think it's better than Winnie the Pooh 1, but definitely not going to be better than Winnie the Pooh 2.
Oh, we need to go see that really bad.
Oh my God. Okay.
The Pooniverse. I'm so excited for the Pooniverse.
Okay. I actually recommend go see it. If you want to see Sydney Sweeney in a nun outfit, if that's your kink, go see it. Yeah, she's in a white dress and water. That's probably as slutty as it gets.
I mean, I would hope so. I would hope that a movie about a pregnant nun doesn't get overly sexualized.
Well, I hoped in Madame Web she would have get sexualized, but here we are with her.
Oh my God, she only danced on that table once. Again, one scene. Sydney's like, I will do one sexy scene. That is it. And my clothes stay on the entire time.
But to be honest about Sydney Sweeney, like, I don't think she's that great of an actress. I think she's a decent actress. I wouldn't put her like she's an Oscar-worthy actress at all.
I don't know. I think she's just played leading lady a little too much. You know what I mean? Like, there's not as much characterization. There's not as much fun she can have.
Here's where I think she shines. She shines at like being either scared or being like in a crying or any of that kind of like those kind of
showing
scenes.
Like real emotion.
Yes, yeah. I think because there's one like. It's the very last like scene, and I'm not going to like spoil it, but the way she's acting, like she doesn't talk in this one, but she's like screaming and everything like that. And like, I really felt it from her. And like some of her scenes where she's talking, like it's all right. Like, again, like I'm not saying she's a bad actress. I think she's all right. But like when she's crying or when she's like really in pain or like in Euphoria, like when she was like stressing the fuck out and like going crazy, that was her best acting.
Yeah.
That was 100%.
But I consider that good acting.
Yeah. No, 100%. But I think like when she's just like not in those kind of stressful scenes or anything like that, I think she takes like a really like a huge backseat.
Interesting. Yeah. I could see that.
Yeah. But overall, good movie. Especially like if you like the thought of like, you know, them discussing about abortion. Again, I don't know if it's talking about abortion, but I clearly felt
it would make a little sense that there would be some of that in there, because I mean, Sydney Sweeney she pushed to get this movie made.
Yeah.
Like she actively
she's a producer on it.
Like this movie wouldn't have been made without her. Because she pushed it so hard. So it's really interesting to see that. I'm really excited to see it. I need to go see it.
Yeah. Good villain. Yeah, great movie. Good. What movie did you see?
Well, apparently we both saw very preachy movies this week, because mine was 57 Seconds. And what this movie is about a like tech blogger whose family went through some hardships because of a pharmaceutical company. And so he's going after, like he's a journalist and a journalist in the fact that he's a blogger. He goes after these.
Does being a blogger count as a journalist?
It's a loose connection, but for all intents and purposes, he acts like a journalist. Okay. Like they say, they say he writes articles and stuff, not blogs. So like, I think it was just them trying to like update the journalist term,
yeah,
and make it so that he didn't have to have like a day job because he didn't. No. So he was like a blogger, and he had family pass away due to this pharmaceutical company had a very highly addictive drug that ended up being like very bad for the masses, and they were basically getting canceled. So he wants to go interview Morgan Freeman, who is the owner of this tech company, and he's trying to make everyone healthy without pharmaceuticals.
Don't tell me they put my boy Morgan Freeman in a bad light.
I wouldn't say that. I think he was in a fair enough light. Okay. He's also against pharmaceuticals. Okay. His company does like, you know, like the Aura rings, censor your health and all that. And like they see like what your heart rate is. His theory is that if we get these on everyone and monitor everyone's health to the nth of a degree, we won't need medicine anymore.
I'm not opposed to that.
I just think it's ridiculous because cancer, well, how are you going to treat cancer without medicine?
You didn't know that?
Treatments.
Like, if you get a Whoop band, it'll
no, but exactly. That's like the thing. Like so what this movie starts off is he's trying to sneak into this conference and he's like trying to get all this stuff. Well, somebody apparently wants to kill Morgan Freeman and he gets in the way. Josh Hutcherson gets in the way.
Okay.
And he's like, no, stop it. Saves Morgan Freeman. Morgan Freeman's like, here, take this little ring. And then he walks away. And then he looks down and there's another little ring sitting on the floor. And he's like, that's really weird. Picks it up. He's like talking to the cops or whatever. And he's just like fiddling with the ring. It clicks it. All of a sudden, he like is talking to the cop again, but it's the same conversation he just had. And he's like, what are you talking about?
So, Madam Web.
The ring sends you back 57 seconds in time. That's it. That's as far as it goes back. So.
Madam Web.
Well, Madam Web was her looking forward. This is going back, so it's a little different. also, there was no Morgan Freeman in Madam Web, so.
Would have made the movie, so
much better. So basically what ends up happening is the guy who runs the pharmaceutical company sees him, save him, realizes that he's a tech blogger, and he's like, I would like to bring him on. He's obviously very lucky, and we could use some of that luck. The writing in this movie is a little all over the place because like you're just like, that was a bit of a leap. And turns out that the owner of the pharmaceutical company, he's trying to like basically rehab the company's image, and he's trying to use Josh Hutcherson to do it. Josh Hutcherson is like, baby, I have superpowers. I'm gonna ruin your fucking life.
What would you do if you get to go back 57 seconds?
What
would you do?
I mean, I feel like in those instances, it would have to be very situational. It would be very much like when I drop something. Oh, now it's not broken anymore. Get in a car wreck. 57 seconds back, no more car wreck. It's stuff like that. And that's the thing. And so what it actually is them trying to see. Like this movie's whole premise is like technology and pharmaceuticals and healthcare and big tech and big pharma and all this stuff. And it does make some good points. It gets a little silly at times. I gave this movie about a 6.5 out of 10 just because it's good. There's strong performances. Like I think Josh Hutcherson and Morgan Freeman do a good job, but like the writing isn't there. And I just don't know where this movie came out of because it came out of nowhere.
I didn't even hear about
it. It's on Stars. And I only think
again, second week in a row.
I like Stars. Fuck off. I had a Stars weekend.
Oh my God.
So it's just really interesting. There is a lot of action. That's fun. It goes into like
it's an action movie
and it's a sci-fi movie. Oh. So there's also like this weird alien guy hanging out in the background. Like I don't even remember what he was. He's just always behind Morgan Freeman, and I don't even remember what his storyline was. It was like a 2-second explanation at the end.
Okay.
But yeah, I would recommend it if you're just bored, if you just like want something to watch, like on a Saturday afternoon.
Okay.
That kind of thing. Okay.
But something on the background.
Yeah, something on the background. Just kind of see it and maybe just peek it every now and then. But I just need Josh Hutcherson. I need his projects. Whoever, your agent, baby, your agent, figure something out. Because
no, he sucks.
Josh Hutcherson is a good, attractive actor that holds a lot of nostalgia for a lot of people. And honestly, I think this movie was probably shelved until he started getting some more traction in the media lately. Because
what's your favorite movie of his?
My favorite movie of Josh Hutcherson's? That's hard. I mean, obviously, he's like really great in Hunger Games and all that fun stuff. Off the top of my head, I'm blanking, honestly.
Zathura!
My
favorite Josh Hutcherson movie.
When he was a kid. Little Manhattan was cute. Oh, he was in fucking... I can tell you what my favorite Josh Hutcherson film was. RV.
RV!
With Robin Williams and fucking JoJo. JoJo.
Wait, JoJo's in that?
JoJo is in that. She's this daughter.
No, she's not.
Yes, she is. Bitch.
Oh, my God.
Matthew Gray Goobler is in that. And I don't know if you know who that is. Spencer Reed from Criminal Minds.
Oh,
the skinny, nerdy one.
Yeah.
He's in there as like a fucking hillbilly.
Wait, JoJo's in that movie?
Bitch, Kristen Chenoweth is in that movie.
Bro, RV's a great movie.
RV's a great movie. I still love that movie. I love RV. So yeah, that would be it to answer your question.
Okay. You know, Zathura, I love Zathura as a kid. Like, it's just a sci-fi Jumanji. And
that was like a young Dax Shepard and Kristen Stewart, too. God.
Kristen Stewart was in that movie.
Yeah.
Holy, she was the big sister, right?
Yeah. And Dax Shepard was the space guy.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Taking me
back.
That
was before either of them were famous, really. That was like when they were like slowly coming up.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. That was a throwback.
All right. Let's get into the small screen of it all. Jordan, what have you been watching on television?
All right. So, Joe, I know you're not going to really care for this, but this is like one of my favorite competition shows that's been around for the past like couple years. It's called Physical 100. It's a Korean, like South Korean show.
Mm-hmm.
That's on Netflix. There's only two seasons. Right now they're on the second season. And it's a fun show. It's really fun. I give it a solid 8 out of 10 for like just competition-wise. Not going to lie. Second season, it has a little bit less of the personalities than the first season. But it's still overall, it's a crazy show. So let me tell you about it. So, okay, Joe, basically this is what they do.
Okay.
They take 100 people of like all different shapes and sizes, and they're trying to find out what is the perfect physique. And so they take sumo wrestlers, they take wrestlers, they take judo, they take fitness models, they take K-pop stars, they take cheerleaders, they take gymnasts, whatever, bodybuilders. And they all put them in different challenges. And we're trying to whittle them down to see what is the best physique and what's the most physical physique out of all this. It's men and women that are both in it.
I'm a little interested in that. I mean, I guess if people get knocked out first round, but they could. I mean, it's a little confusing to me in that way of, how do you base if people get eliminated after every round? Is that a true test?
I mean, it's not, but for a competition.
Okay,
I mean,
okay, sure, fine.
So the winner gets equivalent to like $250,000.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good prize.
Oh, 100%. So here's usually the first round. First round is a 1v1. So actually, no, they do a pretest, okay?
Oh.
To rank yourself. Okay. The first season,
it's like Hunger Games.
Yeah, so the first season they just hung, like from the ceiling, and you just gotta hang on,
dude. I would just be sitting there and be like, "Don't be first, don't be first, don't be first."
No, that's literally my thought too.
The second somebody else drops, I'm like, "Okay, we're done."
Yeah, in the second season, it was a treadmill. So, but it wasn't like, it's different. Because it's a manual treadmill, so you have to like physically push it, and they're going not based on how long you can go, but like distance. So how far can you go in 5 minutes?
Oh.
Or no, the first one was 10 minutes.
Oh.
So.
That's interesting.
It's actually kind of sad because you see like their distances. One dude basically did a lap, like a lap around a track in 10 minutes.
Why did he sign up for the show? That's so weird. Was he a sumo guy?
No, he was an actor. Oh. He was an actor who usually plays like a big bodyguard or something like that.
Oh.
Yeah.
I mean, there is something to be said about like physique versus actual like strength, because those strongman competitions.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously these men aren't made to like run for 10 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
But they're able to like throw telephone poles across a field.
Exactly.
So that's why I'm like a little confused.
But Joe, there's this one actor. Okay, he's like a Korean like famous star. Dude's hot. I'm not gonna lie. Like
I'm not gonna lie. I was completely uninterested in this show until I walked in and you were watching a little bit of it. I was like, this is a slew of very attractive Asian men. No, 100%. And like when I tell you,
do you like Asian men like that?
I love them.
Yeah. If you just want to watch it just to watch bodies,
me and Hawaii, me and San Diego, girl. There are large Asian populations, and I like to sample.
So the first round of each season, they do like a 1v1. Okay, so the longer you got to do the treadmill, the first person gets to choose any person out of the 100 that they want to do in a 1v1, and the 1v1 is basically, you get a ball. Whoever holds the ball at the end of 3 minutes, 3 or 5 minutes, wins.
It's like 1v1 smear the queer.
It's smear the queer. It's basically smear the queer.
Okay, maybe this show does sound fun. It's like a more serious American Gladiator.
Yeah.
And yes. I loved American Gladiator as a kid.
So you have like, so there's like three different stages. Like one where you can like go around obstacles. One was in the water. Like muddy water, and the other one's just a straight up cage. So like, it's strategic of who picks where. A chick picked a dude, beat his ass. Loved it.
This actually does sound good.
Yeah, no, she's like a judo champion and everything like that.
I wish America had more shows like this and not fucking Floor is Lava.
Yeah, they have other competition. Like one competition, it was like 10 people had to carry a ship.
What is this testing? This is like CrossFit competition.
Yeah. So like the purpose was you had to literally drag a ship. Whoever can do it the quickest wins. And like when I tell you, like it's a legit ship.
Just like Johnny Depp in Pirates of Caribbean 3.
Yes. And you're carrying that bitch and pushing or pulling or whatever. And so like you have like all these different competitions. But when you get to the end, it gets even harder. So like, you know, like they're not Greek gods, but like they had the punishments. Mm-hmm. So like Atlas.
Oh, rolling the whole wheel.
Atlas had to hold the ball over his head.
Okay.
That's one of the competitions. So like just 100 kilos.
I don't know what a kilo is. I'm American.
2.2 pounds. So 200 pounds, bro.
200 pounds. You said 2.2.
Yeah.
200 pounds.
1 kilo is 2.2 pounds.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So over 200 pounds, you're just holding it.
Yeah, no.
Whoever holds the longest wins. Another competition is just, what is it? Icarus. You know how he
flies too close to the sun?
You're just climbing rope nonstop.
That's not even...
You're trying to get to the sun. Okay. You're trying to get to the sun.
Okay. How many people actually get up there?
No, it's one person wins.
Oh, they like just all fight to it's a race?
No, it's endurance. How long can you climb this rope? This nonstop going rope.
Oh, so they're just going. Oh, I didn't realize it was a nonstop rope.
It's a nonstop rope that keeps going. And so you're just trying. So like you're in a group of five and one person can only go through. And you're just nonstop climb at like, guys, I'm a pretty fit person. The one thing that scars me is the rope climbing, because I was that fucking kid in fifth grade
I couldn't do it. I could not get off the ground. They'd be like, and then you'd have some fat gym teacher being like, you need to try harder. You're going to. And I was like, honestly, he was a little right. But like, I was fucking six.
Yes. And they do this one where it's just like, You have to just push a boulder up and down a hill, and you have 40 seconds to do it. And we're just going to keep nonstop going up and down this hill. The first couple times is cool, but after the 20th time, and when I tell you it's a boulder, it's a boulder.
Fuck that.
So
fuck,
like,
fuck that.
So the person who won last season, they were a they were a skier.
Oh.
Yeah. And so I actually, like, yes, it's a kind of macho kind of, like, TV show, like, competition. But, like, I love how they really, truly bring people, rowers, Olympians, fitness models. Like literally ballet, like, ballerinas,
mm-hmm.
men and women. I feel bad for the women because, like... They're not.
Well, but I mean, that's what I'm kind of saying is like, and this is just how long you can do things. Like, it's a very specific way to look at physique.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, sure, like, the ballerina may not have the upper body strength, but she has the lower body strength, and she could probably beat half the guys there for lower strength.
No, it's a guy.
Oh, the ballerina's a guy?
Yeah.
Still. He's a little more upper body strength, but
yeah, and so that's why, like, it's a lot of different competitions. Like, one's like sand, so you get some sand and you have to move a bag into another, like, into a box, and so it's just picking up, going, picking up.
But
going.
People have been eliminated by now.
Yeah, no, people keep getting eliminated.
I don't know. It just doesn't sound like. For me, I understand it. It's like somebody who could do all of them.
Yeah. Like that. Yeah, that's what they're looking at. Yeah, of course, like, this ballerina can do something that this weightlifter can't do.
Yeah.
It's just like, all right, we're going to put, they even put like cops, firemen, like FBI agents in here. Like, they put, like, when I tell you it's all different kind of walks of life, mm-hmm. all in this one competition. That's what I like it of, like, okay, what is the best, like, who's the most fit person out of all these people based on endurance, strength, agility, all of that kind of things? Is it this occupation, this occupation, this occupation? What is the most all around? And last year was a fucking skier.
I'm not surprised by that one bit.
Yeah, no, it's, yeah.
It's like, especially if they were like a cross country skier or some shit.
Yeah.
That is so much work.
They have a cheap tree chopper in here. A tree chopper.
Interesting.
Yeah. So that's the physical 100. What'd you watch over this week, though?
Well, I dove into the beautiful world of 1960s Palm Beach, Florida, the creme de la creme, elite of the elite, Palm Royale.
I have a question, though. Was I allowed?
No. And that is a point in the show.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. So let me get into it. So what it is basically... Kristen Wiig, who's this, she's new to town, she's new to Palm Beach, she's trying to make friends, she wants to join this social club, the Palm Royale. And in order to do that, first you have to get a sponsor and you have to do all these different things. And all these women are like, you poor trash from Atlanta, Georgia, get the fuck out. We don't know who you are, we don't know why you're here, we don't want you around.
Shout out ATL.
And she's just like... But I want it. I want to be a part of this life. So she goes through a series of events and all these things. Then she meets up at, oh, and also at the Palm Royale, the bartender is Ricky Martin.
Like the Ricky Martin?
The Ricky Martin. And he's hot. He looks good. Woo, he looks good.
That was random.
Oh, it was great. And the whole time. There's this gag in it where she's trash, and they try to make it known. She keeps drinking grasshoppers, which, if you don't know what a grasshopper is, it's like a creamy, minty. It's got creme de menthe in it, and like it's neon green and creamy. And this is her cocktail of choice, and she just keeps ordering grasshoppers. And every time she orders one, I shit my pants because I'm like, that's the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Is it St. Patrick's Day?
she just really likes, but that's part of her character. She just really likes grasshoppers. And that kind of goes into the, oh, she's unrefined. She doesn't know what a good cocktail is. That kind of aspect of it. And so then she ends up meeting with this hippie chick who's like super like go with the flow. She's a feminist. And that's Laura Dern. Like, yeah, okay. This fucking,
okay.
This whole thing is stacked from top to bottom. So she's talking to Laura Dern, and Laura Dern's like, would you like to join our feminist movement? And she's like, well, sure, I'll check it out. Because she's just trying to make friends at this point. So she goes there, and it's really interesting how they look at it, because they do go into, they're like, oh, what are you doing here? What are that? All this stuff. And there are black women at this Women's Center for Feminism. And
but not at the country club.
Not at the country club.
Okay.
So it does play into that, because they're like, what are you doing? She's like, well, I'm trying to get in the Palm Royale. And they like confront her, and they kind of jump down her fucking throat, basically saying, you can't be a feminist and be a part of that club as well. And Kristen Wiig kind of like slaps back, and she's like, but I still see you as my sister. So what does that mean? And kind of going into the fact of, she's like, no, they do have a lot of, she wants to be a part of the Palm Royale. That's like her whole thing. So, but she goes, it kind of goes back and forth on like what feminism means and what it means to different women. And it really plays into that aspect of it.
Okay.
And so it's a really interesting take of which I enjoy. But, you know, we're done with the girl boss shit. You know what I mean? We're like, as a society, I do think that we're just like, treat women as equals. The whole like girl boss, super femme, like, we don't have to do that. But be as girly as you want. And that's her point. And that's what she's trying to get into. But they have no money. She has no money. And how the fuck is she going to get in the Palm Royale?
Whole ass. Oh, as country girl.
Well, and her husband's like is a pilot, so he's always gone, and so she's just left to her own devices.
I was like, she's married, but that motherfucker's not around.
Yeah, he's not around. And she's left to her own devices and her own whims, and she wants to be in the Palm Royale. So she goes, and they have a aunt in town who is sick, in a coma. She's just like laying there, and they are the heirs to her fortune. So they're just trying to fucking wait it out.
Okay.
Who's this aunt, you ask? Carol Burnett.
Carol?
Carol Burnett, famous, famous woman comedian.
No, I know who she is.
Yeah.
She's just in a coma.
She's just in a coma. I've only seen the first two episodes. I do think that she is going to wake up at some point, because there's no fucking way in hell that Carol Burnett is in this show just to be passed out on a bed.
Yeah.
And if she is, even better. But I'm pretty sure she's gonna wake up and just add a whole bunch of hijinks. Also, the head bitch of the club that was like, we don't want you here, we don't need you here, get the fuck out, Allison Janney. But yeah, so this cast is like stacked. And so like, here's the thing. I don't know about the story yet. I'm only a couple episodes in, so I'm unsure. The performances are fantastic, and the way the lines are delivered, it's not a slapstick comedy. It's not a Bridesmaids. It's not a kind of show.
Is it like a dramedy?
More like a dramedy. It's very smart. It's very like, the humor in it is very like blink and you'll miss it, kind of dry.
I love that.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's some fun gags here and there, but you like have to pay attention. And it's, if you do, it's so funny. It's so good. I would rate it about, 6.57 out of 10. It didn't change my life, but it's very entertaining just to have on. Good show. Apple TV Plus. Apple TV, what they do put out is just so fucking stacked in the cast. Like, that's one thing I say about Apple TV Plus, is they pay money for their talent.
Yeah, and they just don't have enough content. That's the only thing.
Well, I mean,
If Apple TV had more content, I think they could really compete with the others, but they really don't. And that's why they're shelving out so much money to get all these big names.
To draw people in.
To draw people in. Because, again, like, I feel like it's so different with, like, you know, Peacock, Paramount, Net, because they have all these other shows. They have everything else. But, like, Apple TV is the only streaming service that's just pure new content.
Yes. And but that's the thing, is, like, Apple TV is new. It's yeah. not, it doesn't have years of IP to, like, go back on.
It just has a lot of fucking money.
And honestly, I don't know. It's kind of a give and take. Like, what do you want? Quality or quantity? Both. I want both. Yeah. I'm an American and I want quality and quantity, goddammit, and I don't want to pay shit for it.
Yeah. My favorite Apple TV show is Shrinking. It's so funny. It's clever. It's great. Everybody does a fantastic performance in it.
I've seen, like, the first couple episodes. I need to go back.
Go back and watch. It's so worth it.
It's like sitting in my queue.
Yeah. Great show. Highly recommend it. So, something's been going around lately. TV shows have been made. Interviews have been made.
Documentaries have been made.
Documentaries. And it's about one of my favorite programs growing up.
It's very hard to hear, but Nickelodeon, and specifically Dan Schneider and his empire that he's built there, is under fire, and rightfully fucking so.
Fuck Dan Schneider. We can just all say that.
Yeah, dude. Come on. Why you gotta be... These were kids.
Yeah, so if you haven't know, been sleeping on a rock or not known, a lot of the people behind the scenes of, like, shows, like, all that...
Drake and Josh.
Drake and Josh. Okay, that one.
The Amanda Show was a big one.
Yeah. A lot of those kids are now adults and have came out and said that there were people behind the scenes who sexually assaulted, molested, done, you know,
awful, everything. Horrible things.
Yeah, awful, horrible things that, again, should not happen. Shouldn't be doing any of these things to kids. But then it's just been crazy. Like, the thing is, it's like the way they've been hushing this, like, that's the part that I'm kind of crazy, because, like, all that was, like, 90s, 2000s, well, and, like, this stuff is just now coming out.
Well, you have to remember that these were kids at the time, and so a lot of these aren't a lot of these records aren't public. Like, for the longest time, we didn't know about Drake Bell because he was listed as John Doe in all of the documentation because he wanted to remain anonymous as a minor, and he had the right to do so, and most parents would choose that for their kids, I think, because you don't want your kids to have to be... like, have to have this carried throughout with them their whole lives.
You're associated with it. And especially, like, when you're in, like his position of, like, okay, hey, I'm trying to be, you know, be in TV shows, more TV shows, or more or in movies and stuff like that. You don't really want all that associated with your name.
Yeah. So what it is this documentary, Quiet on Set, The Dark Side of Kids TV, came out, and it really deep dived into a lot of the different things that just happened to these kids over the years, and it's really heart-wrenching to see and heart-wrenching to hear.
Yeah.
But and it's like, and it's just so sad, and so I can't believe this happened. But what's really interesting to me is this is starting to feel like a little bit of a Me Too movement for child stars.
Yeah.
Because more people are coming out. Corey Feldman, who has consistently told everyone for years that Corey Haim died as a direct result of the assaults he faced while he was a child. Yep. He said it for years, but now he's naming names. And I'm not going to say the names because it's all allegation and all this stuff, but this is not something that's new. It's not something that is... unfortunately uncommon, it seems like, in these industries, because I mean, the one who was going after Drake Bell, he, after he served 16 months in prison, got hired on to Sweet Life of Zach and Cody.
And see, and that to me is the biggest problem.
That's what's crazy.
It's like, I really feel like Hollywood is like such a boys club of, like, if I know you and you know me, like, no matter what kind of shit that I get into, well, you have my back.
When I started living there in, like, 2016, the joke was, it's who you know and who you blow. That was just the common like theme, joke, whatever. And it's really disturbing when you think about it, but that was the culture and it was way worse before I even got there. And it's the idea of like the casting couch. You want this job, you got to do something for me. I have 20 other actresses out there who will suck my dick. And so then you find out, and people have done that. Well, you were an adult. He did it, but he also abused his position of power over you. And we got the Me Too movement, and we finally got that. This is what that feels like for child stars, because we are seeing.
And that's what makes it way worse, because, mm-hmm. like you just said, like. Again, like, it's fucked up, but you're an adult woman. You can make that choice, but these are fucking kids.
You should have never been, but none of these people should have been in this position. But yeah, these are fucking kids and it's disgusting and they don't know what they're doing.
No.
And the other thing is like a lot of the parents, I mean, on this documentary were just like, Drake Bell's dad was completely shoved out. He said, I didn't want that guy around my kid. Keep him away from my kid. Do not let him be alone with my kid. And the guy actively worked in Drake's career to shove the dad out.
And that's the thing. It's like, as a kid, you can love your parent. You can love your, your guardian, whoever. But they're not in the acting world.
Mm-hmm.
And so when these, you know, these big wigs are talking to you and saying, nah, like your dad's kind of toxic, or like,
yeah,
then as a
and you're going to believe
the execs. You're going to believe that exec, because you're like, no, because this exec is going to get me to that next role.
Yep.
This exec's going to help me. My dad doesn't know all these things. So like, I'm going to believe the exec. And that's the thing. It's just like, as a child, you're just so like, impressionable.
Yeah.
Like,
and this is the biggest thing that like I've kind of been harping on lately, is like, you don't know what you don't know. And these kids don't know shit because they're kids.
No, they're kids.
And also a lot of the adults, they didn't know what they were signing up for either. And that's what's sad, is because they're like, and it's what's really sad is like the kids are like, I want to be in this show. I want to keep doing these things. And like the parents who,
because they made great shows.
Yeah.
They were great. I love Drake and Josh. Loved Drake and Josh.
But then it goes into like, the parents are like, if they speak up, they're seen as a problem and it could affect their kids next season. And there is one guy who his mom just spoke up too much. She was like, you can't be doing this to these kids. You can't have them doing this, these physical things. They're always after hours. Girl, child labor laws? Are you kidding me? When I worked at McDonald's, these motherfuckers could not do anything. If you were under the age of 16, you were not allowed to touch a fryer. You were not allowed to touch a grill. You weren't allowed to touch lettuce. I couldn't even send them into the walk-in to get pickles.
I'm not going to lie. Worlds of Fun did not care.
Yeah, well.
I was 15, and they were like, hey, here you go. Here's $1,000 right now. Work this till. You're going to work that deep fryer for some, what's the cake?
Funnel cakes.
Funnel cakes. Yep. I did all that.
Well, we weren't. But that's kind of the thing, is like, these kids, like they couldn't stay past like 7 p.m.
Yeah.
And they could only work like 5 hours at a time. It was very specific and very like, and the fact that these kids were working 12, 16 hour days, and their parents are just like, all this stuff. But then even more has come out saying about those that are like protected. The older brother from iCarly, there are like videos of him like screaming at Dan Schneider,
yes,
and like kind of towing the line, but Dan obviously didn't like it, of these adults who did kind of like act as a buffer for them.
Yeah, I'm shocked Miranda hasn't came out and said anything.
I'm sure she signed that NDA because she just redid iCarly.
The new iCarly.
Yeah, so I'm sure that she's kept locked tight.
And see, like, Kenan Thompson just came out today talking about, hey, my show, none of that was happening, so I didn't know anything that was happening. Part of me was like, you're a child actor, and I know you guys all talk. Like, they had the Kids' Choice Awards, mm-hmm, and stuff like that. And so, like, don't get me wrong. I love Kenan Thompson, and I believe that he probably doesn't really know or, like, really dived in.
I mean, it's, again, one of those things. You don't know what you don't know.
Yeah.
So, like, this might have been going on, but it was also a little after him.
Yeah,
and I mean,
that's the biggest thing he said. He said it was just like, he said most of the stuff was after me, like after I left my tenure and stuff like that.
A lot of the weird, creepy stuff happened during the Amanda show, started during the Amanda show. I mean, don't get me wrong, there was weird, creepy shit happening on all that, but I feel like Dan didn't feel he didn't feel comfortable being creepy yet. So they move into it and they go into all of these things. And so then it was the Amanda show, and then it was the second iteration of all that with the new kids.
Yeah.
And that's where a lot of the problems started. Like, Amanda was his little go-to, but now these rumors are flying and getting crazy. But I don't know. For me, the worst, and like for like a lot of this, a lot of these things that happened, like Drake Bell was Brian Peck. There were other, like some guy named Handy. His late name was Handy or something. And he was another pedophile. There were like multiple pedophiles on set that Dan didn't know about, apparently. But then Victorious happens. And a lot of people, this is kind of where I dropped off Nickelodeon, was that Victorious, because I was just like, I'm not interested. I'm over this, and it's kind of weird.
Yeah, well, it's like the early, like very, very early 2010.
So what's interesting about it is, for me, I remember thinking, oh, this must be new kids humor I don't get, because I don't find it funny. Because I was growing, I was a teenager at that point.
Yeah.
And like, I was just like, I just must not find this that funny anymore. It turns out it was just really pervy. And all the feet shots and all this stuff. There is a video online of Ariana Grande squeezing that potato and literally going, oh, come on, give me that juice out of it.
Yeah, I saw that.
Is pouring water on herself, and she was a minor.
Do you think she's going to come out and say anything?
I don't know. She's already going through her own stuff with all of that, but with her co-star on Wicked. But I don't know if we're ever going to hear from her. And here's the thing. I don't think anyone should have to speak up.
No, never.
If you had somebody from your past be like, please, I need you to help me in this situation. I need you to like speak up for me. You can choose not to, but like, then you kind of away how good of a friend that was, and like what it actually means to them. I think that's a totally different scenario.
Yeah, but like also at the same time, it's like, and again, like I would probably say something, but like I understand where people would be like, I shut that part of my life off.
Yeah,
and I never want to revisit that.
I mean,
and I'm not trying to bring that trauma back up or bring any of that stuff up.
And I mean, that's kind of the thing, is like, who I would want to hear most from is obviously Amanda Bynes. That's who I want to hear from. But also is 100% the most reasonable. Like, you know what, babe? You don't have to tell us anything, because she's obviously been through some shit that I don't even know if I want to know, because you've seen her lately, right?
Oh, no. She is, looks way different.
Yeah.
Way different. Like, there was a side-by-side of like Lindsay Lohan and Amanda Bynes both growing up, and like you saw how like Lindsay Lohan kind of went a little crazy,
mm-hmm.
but then has, you know, kind of come back, and like Amanda Bynes was cool, and then like okay, oh wait, what's wrong, and it's just gotten worse and worse and worse.
She almost made a comeback, but then then she disappeared again, and I think we were all like okay with that. We were like, sure, girl, go do you. But then she got on TikTok, and now she's like, she tried to start a podcast with that weirdo. Then she's like,
oh what? Oh, I didn't hear this.
Oh, it was like two episodes, because apparently the guy was crazy as well. Shocker. Look it up later. But then also she's like, hey guys, I'm getting my like state license board for cosmetology or something. And it's just like,
are you okay?
Yeah. Like it was just like, it's just like, okay, good for you. But like, what is going on, girl? But also I think she's the one where it's like, you've obviously been through some stuff. I don't think we need to hear what happened.
I loved Amanda Bynes. Like, She was the star of Nickelodeon, mm-hmm. Growing up for us.
Because of Dan Schneider. Yeah. Like, they worked together, and they thought that they did all this stuff.
So,
and like,
wait. So, she probably knew some of the other stuff going on.
There's a lot of speculation There's been some crazy rumors, and I'm not going to say them on here because that's just baseless allegations. But I mean, if even half of the things are true that are being said, it's horrifying and would explain a lot. Because all of us were like, what happened to her? Why did she go crazy like that? And after seeing this documentary,
Why did Drake Bell go crazy?
Why did all these Nickelodeon stars go fucking crazy? And it turns out it was completely rational why they acted the way they did. And it does add a lot of context. And I think the one good thing that I think is coming out is like, we are finally giving like these child stars some grace and how hard it was growing up through that. Because I remember when I was a kid, like, you know, again, Lindsay Lohan, Amanda Bynes, and Britney Spears, they like all started getting like a little bit older, all this stuff. And they just dragged their names through the mud as hard as they fucking could. They blamed them. They called them sluts. They called them whores. They called them every name that they could to devalue them as human beings. And then we were surprised when they reacted the way that they did. If you have somebody calling you a dirty slut whore every day and meaning it and then saying it to the world, you're going to have some issues. And so I'm really hoping that we get to a place where child stars can actually make the jump from child star to adulthood. I'm hoping that this sheds a light on a lot of things that are obviously just being overlooked. And, you know, this is my theme of the night. You don't know what you don't know. I'm sure a lot of those studio execs higher up, they're like, Nickelodeon should have had more hand in it. And it's like, these guys don't know what's going on set.
No, not at all.
Not unless somebody tells them. And so I do hope that we get to a place where, God, children can feel safe again doing acting. Yeah. Because it is a fun career. It's something that, like, any kid would love to do. I mean, not any kid, but, like, I would have loved to do it as a kid. I actually, like, my mom always tells a story about how she's like, I had talent agents coming up to me all the time. I was a cute kid. Things have changed. I was a cute kid. and she was just like, no, she turned every one of them down. She's like, I'm not going to getting into this. I don't care. I'm not having it. I'm not having my kid go through all of this, because she grew up with the Corey Haimes of the world.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's just sad. But like you said, I hope this is child me too, and I hope this becomes better for children, actors, because again, there's a lot of kids out there that are talented, amazing, but these shows aren't worth fucking up their whole lives.
No, and if you...
It's not.
And I'm sorry, if you think that like this teenager's attractive, please seek help, because God, you.
But...
like, fuck's sake, what are we talking about?
Yeah, we're talking about Double Trouble Features. So
on Apple Podcasts and everywhere where your favorite podcasts are found.
Yeah, so tell us what you think about the video. Did you like it? Was it great?
Yeah, tell me how you felt. This was a heavy one.
I know.
We've really gone out of our way to stay away from kind of heavy subjects, but I mean, this is TV. This is movies, and heavy subjects do come up.
Yeah. So on the perfect transition, I'm Jordan.
And I'm Joe.
And this is Double Trouble Features.
Oh, yeah.